Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today is taken from both the first reading in the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy and the Gospel of Mark. First, from Deuteronomy 5, verse 12, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. And from the Gospel lesson you just heard in verse 27, and Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Dear friends in Christ, what do you think about the Ten Commandments? A pastor once asked a group of churchgoers to name one of the Ten Commandments. It got very quiet. Then finally, a woman spoke up and she said, thou shalt not do anything. Sometimes it seems like Christians have a love-hate relationship with the Ten Commandments, and part of the reason for that has to be that they make us feel bad. We know that we don't do what they say. They make it abundantly clear that we are not living up to God's standards. The Ten Commandments are like a mirror that shows us every last flaw. They show us who we really are. And that's never fun. It's never comfortable. And we're always going to prefer fun and comfortable. But here's the catch. Without the discomfort created by God's commands, there's no such thing as meaningful forgiveness. In other words, if you don't realize at your very core that you are prone to do wrong and not do what's right, if you don't realize that, if you don't own that, what's there to be saved from? Why would you even need a Savior? Being a Christian means that I don't deny the discomfort produced by the commandments. I don't run from the discomfort. I let the discomfort drive me to the only solution. And let me give you a hint. The solution is not you trying harder to be a little better. Now, here's an interesting twist. The fact that God's commands make us feel bad does not mean that God's commands are bad. The truth is, God's commands are beautiful. In Psalm 19, it says this, the law of God is perfect, reviving the soul. The commandments of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous, altogether. Why does the Bible say that? Because embedded in the law, embedded in the commandments, embedded in the rules of the Lord is a way of life that leads to blessing if we could only do it right. The problem is, we can't. Not entirely. Not consistently. The solution is Jesus can. And Jesus did. And because he did, we can catch glimpses of the beauty of God's way. Sometimes we can even live in it. But the message is not use Jesus as an example. Instead, it is Jesus has credited your account with his perfection. What he did counts for you. And one of the things that means is that you can begin to see the beauty in what used to be a burden. And with that in mind, I'd like to zero in on just one of the commandments today, specifically the third commandment. It was our first reading for today. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What kind of command is that, really? I'm going to suggest to you today that it is a health issue. It is a mental, emotional, spiritual health issue. If remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy only means stop skipping church, there's no point in preaching it because you're already here. It means far more than that. Believe it or not, this commandment is an invitation to spiritual wellness. Let's break it down. The first word, remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This word is the easiest, but there's still a little bit of digging we have to do. You and I both know remember doesn't just mean to recall information from storage. Even in our language, it's much more as implied here. For example, if someone asks you, did you remember my prescription? What it really means is, did you pick up my prescription? Or we say things like, by raising this flag, we remember our veterans. And it's not just remembering that they're there. It's remembering what we owe them. Remembrance is thought that leads to action, and at the same time, it is action that keeps thought alive. And this is what Jesus was getting at when he gave bread and wine to his disciples in the upper room, and what did he say? Do this in remembrance of me. Next word is Sabbath. This word isn't quite as obvious, but what it really means is to stop. Just stop. God's people in the Old Testament were supposed to stop for one day each week, and this flows out of the Genesis account of creation where God stopped and he rested on the seventh day. It's worth asking, what was the point of the Sabbath? For God's people, it was to remember. To remember once a week together what they were doing here on this earth. It was to remember their bond with God. It was to be an oasis from the storm of busyness and distraction. The Sabbath was not an extra duty. It was a rest from duty. And that's exactly why Jesus says at the end of today's gospel reading, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. That stop day was supposed to be a gift for men and women. For what purpose? To stop and remember the holiness of God, and in doing so, have some of that holiness rub off on us. We need something to keep us holy, because we sure can't do it ourselves. We tend to slide away from holiness without even trying. And you may not even think of holiness as something to aspire to, something you consciously want in your life. About the only time we use the word holiness in everyday conversation, it's a negative. Do you know what I'm thinking of? When we call someone holier than thou, it's not a positive. Holiness has come to have a bad name. That's pretty messed up, isn't it? So here we are today, actively participating in God's stop day that keeps us holy. What is that holiness that we need to be kept in? What does it consist of? Well, essentially it consists of God. God is what holiness is. He is completely clean. He is completely good. He makes us completely well. God is free of anything that can cause death. God is totally alive. He is the source of all life and energy. He is the life that could not be held down by death. And this is the God of life that made the stop day for you and for me. That's why when we come together on the stop day God has made, when we worship in the way that we do, the words that we speak, the words that we sing are God's words. The Bible says His words are spirit and they are life. They contain the energy and power of God. And when you receive the bread of life, His life comes into you. So today, let's just stop and take and eat, take and drink. Let's stop and listen. As Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. I paid for them dearly and paid in full. Let's stop and remember who we are. Remember who you are, a person who has been adopted in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have you ever seen a child with night terrors? To help them, to actually help them, you have to wake them up and get them to stop. You have to bring them out into the real world, away from the dark horror that's in their head. So you wake them, you comfort them, you hold them. God has a world full of children with night terrors. Even His baptized ones lose their way and come down with fevers and nightmares. His Sabbath, His stop day, is to make the madness stop. To make the sadness stop. To bring you out into the real world. Can you hear His words? Can you feel His arms around you? You are here, so is He. So listen to Jesus as He says to you, I'm glad you remembered. Don't be afraid. Stop for a while. And let me hold you. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, You created this Sabbath, this stop day, to be a day where it's all about our connection to You, which You have created through Your Word and Your Spirit, through the gift of holy baptism, through all the things that Jesus did and earned by living perfectly and dying perfectly on the cross to release the power of forgiveness into the world, by His perfect rising from the dead to release the power of eternal life into the world. We are here today to remember. We are here to think about and to act on the faith that You have gifted us with, to celebrate the gifts that You give, and for a moment to just stop and live in the connection that You have forged so that when we go back out into the world, we are strengthened. We are given a poise that cannot be taken away. We are given a peace that surpasses understanding. Help us to see this day, Lord, as not a burden, not another duty, not another rule to keep, but as a beautiful, wonderful, non-negotiable gift that we want to have, that we need to have, that we don't want to do without. And may we take that joy into every corner of our lives. Especially now, I pray that you would prepare our hearts by your Holy Spirit to approach your table and there to receive Jesus Christ with the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of our sins, for the remembrance of all that he has done, for the renewal of our faith and life. For it is in his name that we approach you and we pray in confidence. Amen.